I want to invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, please. If you have your Bible, please turn with me. We'll return this morning to our study titled Glory and Growth. Our base text is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let's begin there and we'll go forward from there. Our fifth message in this series on progressive sanctification. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, 18 with me, please. Perhaps there's no better verse in the New Testament Bible that explains this process of moving from one level of godliness to another. We call it being conformed to the image of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Bow your heads, let's pray. Father in heaven, just humble myself before you and the precious ones you've drawn here today. Just come totally dependent on the Holy Spirit, bring nothing but inadequacy, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Our adequacy is from God. We have the treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power would be of God, not of us. I pray that you would hear the cry of your pastor this morning, just the need for the Holy Spirit to do the work of bringing any spiritual fruit, anything good out of this, just bring emptiness and inability. Pray that your people would see the cry of dependence and humility, and that you would meet this message with your Spirit, and that it would speak to people in a real way. It would bear fruit. It would give your Son a glory, in whose name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This is all about the metamorphosis that takes place once a believer has placed their faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. We look at the Word of God. We look into the Bible. We see the glory of God, the glory of Christ, the holiness of God. That glory is reflected back upon us, and we are moved progressively in our lives toward our ultimate goal, which is glorification. And so this is about the great subject in theology we call sanctification. It literally means to become holy, progressively more and more holy through the Word of God via the Spirit of God. It is the underrated purpose of God saving people. We have been predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Praise God this morning. If you're a believer and you're in the new covenant, you have the Holy Spirit, this is the goal of life, to be conformed to the image of the Son. I want to look at another passage today. And just for all the visitors, I've been picking a number of passages that in my mind speak so clearly and specifically about the subject of progressive sanctification as I have tried to understand it through the years. Another passage this morning is Romans chapter 12. I want to ask you to turn there, please, with me. This is really a seminal passage. If you're going to understand how the process of sanctification works practically in real life, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to ask you to turn there with me as we continue today our fifth message in this series titled Glory and Growth. Let's read together Romans chapter 12. Specifically, we'll just concentrate on verse 2, but to pick up the context, let's start in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so we begin in verse 1. God wants you, beloved, this morning, Christian, He wants you to give your best offering, which is your body, related to using your spiritual gifts to the building up of the body. The only way that can take place in a real way, to give yourself in this sacrificial offering, is to win the battle in the mind for truth. Such a great subject. It's an underrated subject in the Christian church this morning. The battle for the mind, your thoughts, your thinking. This is the battle of sanctification. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is the subject matter at hand. I want to concentrate just on this one verse. And the main idea in verse 2 is not to be conformed to the world. There's a lot of that taking place in the church today. In the lives of people who profess the Lord Jesus, they are being conformed to the world. We're going to talk about that. The answer is verse 2, the second part of verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And again, just as a footnote, Paul is speaking to the brethren. He's speaking to the Christian. For one who is not yet born again through faith in the Lord Jesus, and you're hearing a message today, all you can do is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus and say, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm coming by faith. I believe the gospel that Christ died for my sins, that he rose from the grave, and I'm crying out for mercy. This is for the genuine Christian in the new covenant who has the Holy Spirit to guide them, to lead them. Look at verse 2. Let's begin. Do not be conformed to this world. Let me just give you a little bit of the teaching here, the technical background here. Conformed is the very interesting word, pseuschematizo. And you know this word, it's not as fancy as you think. It's our English word, schematic. And if you're used to building stuff or electrical things or you're familiar with blueprints, you know this word, the schematic. Something that you follow to achieve a result. And so in the context here, this is a tremendous word. Paul uses this in Romans 12 to speak of the idea of something transitory, something impermanent, something unstable. Unstable. He gives it a nuance here that's interesting. And the negative prefix in this particle makes it a strong prohibition. It's a passive verb, meaning this conforming is something that the genuine Christian allows to be done to them. And it's a command. It's in the imperative form. Now, that's a mouthful of technical jargon. But that really helps understand the background and the intensity of what we're speaking of. We're not to be conformed to the world. Listen to some of the writers translate this. Phillips' translation. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. There's a lot of people in churches today. The world is squeezing them into its mold. Wiest translated this, stop assuming an outward expression which is patterned after the world, an expression which does not come from nor is representative of what you are in your inner man as a regenerated child of God. That's tremendous. As a believer, we are not to be conformed to the schematic, the system of the world. Easy to speak about, easy to teach about, much harder to leave the church and try to apply this. Very interesting. Look at the word world with me. It's not the word cosmos, the word you might expect here. It's the word ion, which is the nuance for age, referring to the present sinful time age that we live. In other words, we are not to be conformed to the present world schematic, its system, dominated by Satan, who is the ruler, the god of this world. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4. Our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. So let us never forget, very important footnote, God is sovereign. He is in control. He is ruler of all things. And within the mystery of God's ultimate sovereignty, God has allowed, He has permitted, in the mystery of His glory, God has permitted evil in the world system. Satan is the ruler of the evil world system, the god of this age. Evil will run its course in the world system under the parameters of God's sovereignty. One of the writers was saying, well, the world is an instrument of Satan, and his ungodly influence is pandemic. I couldn't resist that when I read that. I had to. And this was written 100 years ago. And the pandemic today is not about a virus. The pandemic today is not about a mask. The pandemic today is not about keeping 6 feet distance from someone. The pandemic is not closing down schools and churches. The pandemic today is the evil one, the ruler of this age, the instrument of evil, Satan himself energizing the world system. Continue, quote, it's seen in the prideful spirit of rebellion, lies, error, the rapid spread of false information, religion, doctrine, especially those who promote self, come under the broad umbrella of the satanic age in which we live, end quote. And this is what's happening today. You don't need a sermon, you don't need a pastor, Christian, to explain this. People are being conformed to the world. All over, the thinking, the thought process, the pattern of thought that's energized by Satan. Professing Christians are being squeezed into the mold of thinking, the pattern of the world. Many are victims of this schematic that is false. It is a lie. It is untrue. It is everywhere. This is what Paul is speaking about in the context of Rome in the first century. You had the exact same thing through history. You had the exact same thing. You have the schematic of evil running its course. People quickly trading in truth, the word of God, for the system of lies and error. Paul says, don't be conformed to the world's system, the world's train of thought. What a great, great privilege it is for me to be here today, just in love, to remind us as professing believers. You have to understand information and thought, thinking, messages related to everything under the sun, whether it's this pandemic or health or religion or truth about heaven and hell and philosophy, all of these things, all of this, we need to have the warning not to be conformed to the world's system, its train of thought. Many are victims today. And it's what Paul is arguing here. He says, look, don't fall for it. Don't be conformed to the world. What's the antidote? What's the answer? What's the remedy? Look at verse 2b. I love this. How do you avoid today being conformed to the world that is under the influence of the ruler of this world? Verse 2b. Here's the answer. Verse 2b. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is tremendous. The little word, look at the little word but in your English Bible. Strong adversative Greek particle emphasizing a strong contrast. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Transformed. You're going to know this word. We've talked about it every week. It's metamorphosis. It's the same word used in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Great word. Same word is used in Matthew 17. Listen, Matthew 17:2. Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His garments became as white as light. In other words, what Christ truly was in his divine nature, just for that moment, he allowed the disciples to see And the point is simple. We allow God to change us outwardly into conformity with who we are inwardly as children of God. Tremendous. That same word is used in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being metamorphosized, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that produces this change, this transformation, the renewing of your mind. Look at verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's very interesting. Behavior does not change practically until the mind is changed. Have you noticed that with me? Behavior never changes until the mind is changed. Permanent change of behavior never ever is the result of moving one's emotions. Have you noticed that with me? The church went down a terrible slope about 50 years ago when everything started to shift from the mind to the emotions. Try not to miss this and don't be susceptible to this. Where everything in the church became a manipulation of men's emotions, thinking if you can make someone cry or laugh or have chills run down their spine, they're going to become more godly, they're going to get saved, or they're going to be sanctified. It doesn't work because the emotions are here today and they're gone tomorrow. You have to aim for the mind. The Lord Jesus always taught aiming for the mind. Paul and Peter and John, the apostles, they're teaching to convict you to change your mind about the truth, because only when the mind is changed does the behavior change. The Christian life, sanctification, is a battle for the mind. And when the mind is truly changed, when the Holy Spirit works to convict you or encourage you or cause you to repent or worship or serve or give or pray, when the Holy Spirit begins to do that miraculous work of changing your mind related to self, that is when we begin to move from one level of glory to the next. But not until the mind is changed via the Word of God, via the Holy Spirit, never simply moving the emotions of people. The Bible says, your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. The Bible says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. Listen to Colossians. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. 3:16. Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we're transformed by the renewing of the mind with the Word of God. It's so powerful. The mind is the battlefield. So think with me today. So let's just try to apply some of this practically. As you run through the grid of teaching, think about the things you allow into your mind. And realize that every thought is either a thought from God, the Spirit, or a thought from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I mean, that sounds too simple, but it's not. That's not being overly simplistic. So you have professing believers, and they say, yes, God, I want to know you. I want to be sanctified. I want to worship you. I want to serve you. I want to grow in my sanctification. They're spending half of their mind time being influenced by the world, the thoughts of Satan, the thoughts of the flesh. Sanctification is a losing battle if you lose the battle for the mind. That's what Paul is teaching in Romans 12:2. The process of sanctification is the battlefield for your thinking. The battle is in your thoughts. As a man thinks, so is he. It's very interesting this morning. This principle has so consumed our nation, our churches, all of this information that's being spread about this pandemic, and all of this information that people are getting about everything under the sun. And you have to always consider the source of information that you're receiving. It just for me personally, I just have a very hard time listening to anyone. I mean, this is going to sound like the pastor, but you'll forgive me. I just can't listen to people give me information who are not believers on the Lord Jesus, who don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, because I'm not hearing truth. And you want to hear that Holy Spirit speaking to you about that today. If you're one who is susceptible to listening to every voice that has a degree behind its name, you want to be careful, because people who are not of God, who do not know the Word of God, who do not have the Holy Spirit of God, they do not have truth that will help you change your mind related to Christian living and behavior, the glory of God. Just the opposite.
Amen.
That will take you from truth, the Word of God, the glory of God. It's something that you often have to learn the hard way in your Christian life, your Christian development. But the mind is the battlefield. So please consider who's influencing you. Who are you listening to? Who is a counselor in your life? And be careful, because the battle is for your thoughts. The mind must be renewed daily, moment by moment, because your mind, it's like a vacuum. It's going to be filled with something. Am I right? It's either filled with the Spirit of God, God's thoughts, or the spirit of the world, the flesh, the devil. And as you renew your mind daily, moment by moment, day by day with the Word of God, you become more sensitive to truth and more sensitive to error. You're better able to discern truth and error as you are into the Word of God more and more and more. And then there must be a commensurate step of obedience when the Word of God is informing your mind and your thoughts. And so all of this emphasis that we place here on teaching and Bible memory and theology and doctrine, it's not that we do that so you can win an argument, or you can memorize chapters and people say, wow, you know, he memorized 10 chapters. No, it's so that you win the battle of the mind, because the mind is where sanctification, progressive sanctification, the mind is where this battle is won and lost. That's precisely the point of Romans 12:2. It's precisely the point. God's Word is the transforming agent via the Holy Spirit. And God's Word will do its work via the Holy Spirit to conform you into the image of Christ. Have you noticed that? You'll forgive me for the most simple, practical, homely illustration. Yesterday I was really busy, and I had a whole bunch of things that I had to do that were somewhat unrelated to anything, quote-unquote, biblical or spiritual. I just had a lot of things to do yesterday. And by the end of the day, when I got my day wrapped up, it was late for me. 9 o'clock is late. I know, that's bad. 9 o'clock is late for me. By 9:30, I'm under the covers going off into Bobby Dreamland. But by 9 o'clock yesterday, I had a busy day, and it was just consumed with things. And you know how it is when you spend your day or your week or your month, and for me it just takes all of one day. And if I haven't been thinking God's thoughts and the Word of God, by the end of the day, I don't even recognize myself. And so yesterday evening, I mean, it was 9 o'clock, and that's late for me. Just turned everything off, disconnected everything, and just one of the passages I've been trying to think about and memorize, just spent time until I went to bed. And then by the time I woke up this morning, that was running through my head and my thoughts. It's a passage in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And there's just that process. It's a miraculous process of the renewing of the mind. Look at the application of this. Look what comes next in verse 2, so that. Let's close here. The applicational clause, so that. We're transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that, purpose clause, you may prove what the will of God is. Let's just close right here. The will of God. We've preached about it. We've talked about it. It's so very simple. There's five statements in the Bible that explicitly tell you what the will of God is. And I'll just share those with you. Three of them are 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Another statement on the will of God. There's only five of these. The fourth statement is, this is the will of God, your sanctification. So we know we're in the will of God by teaching about sanctification, because it's the will of God. Amen. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And then the other statement, there's only five of these. This is the will of God, that you would be filled with the Spirit. You know that's Ephesians 5:18. And so these five statements on the will of God, pray, give thanks, rejoice, be sanctified, be filled with the Spirit. The will of God is no mystery. It's very, very clear. And if you are obedient to the will of God in these five areas of Scripture, related to transforming your mind through the Word of God, the Spirit of God, knowing the will of God in these five big areas, you'll know the will of God in other areas of life that seem to be less important. The Bible says when you renew your mind with the Word, God, as one writer was saying, properly assesses everything and allows you to accept only what conforms to the will of God. You see how we're coming to conclusion here? Progressive sanctification, it's a logical subject. It's a tremendous subject linked to what God wants for you through His Word, via His Spirit, related to the will of God in your life specifically. Look at the phrase in verse 2, that which is good. We close right here. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Two ways to understand that phrase. Some people think this is referring specifically to the will of God. In other words, the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. No one would disagree with that. Others would say, no, your life, your progressive sanctification, your being transformed, proves the will of God by doing the things in your life, applying this related to what is good and acceptable and perfect. And both of those views are wonderful. They're part of this. God's will is perfect, and your life proves the perfection of God's will when you say yes to the will of God. One of the commentators was saying, a transformed mind produces a transformed will, by which we become eager and able, with the Spirit's help, to lay aside our own plans and to trustingly accept God's plan no matter what. This command yielding involves the strong desire to know God better and to comprehend and follow His purpose, end quote. And as we come to a conclusion this morning, just one simple practical word I was thinking about, and I just feel like I would be a coward if I didn't close with this point. I want you to think about and assess today. Who's winning the battle for your mind today? Is the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the truth, or is it the world, the flesh, the devil? Just let's yield and let's pray together about that as we come to conclusion. Because this subject is difficult in a world where everything is against truth. Amen? Everything is against this, what we're talking about. Everything. Everything on the news, everything on the public radio, everything related to this virus, everything related to the church. I was just this week, I came across a discussion where I had an opportunity to comment. And it's one of these discussions where people, not only do they reject Christ, the Word of God, the Bible, the truth. I mean, this ship has sailed. People today are just denying the existence of God, period. The Creator God had an opportunity to interact with some people this week. And everything in an exponential way is building against the truth. And we're all living through that today. And so, as we come to conclusion in grace and mercy, let's ask the Holy Spirit today to use this message to ask God to give us a warning beep in our conscience. If we're allowing the world to conform us to its schematic, or is the Word of God the truth? energized by the Holy Spirit, transforming us into the image of Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, just take the humble offering of the pastor today. Use the words of Scripture, Romans 12:2. I pray you would bear great fruit, that your Son would be glorified, and we do desire to be sanctified. Our Father, hear the cry of each heart this morning. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. We allow and yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. Give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I pray that we would long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it we would grow in respect to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close.